Thank you, Lord. Tonight's message, we're still on this wonderful series called More Than Conquering. Not only does God want you to win, He wants you to win in such a way that all the glory and all the honor and all the praise goes to Him, because there's no other way this could have happened if it wasn't for Him. Your victory instructions from God are there. Our title tonight is Draw Up Your Answer. Draw up your answer, because your instructions are there. Counsel in the heart of a man, it's there. But what do we have to do? A man of understanding will draw it up. Draw them up and out of where? My mind? My body? No, we understand it's in our spirit. Counsel is in the human spirit by the, I like this, intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit. Draw them up. God wants to talk to you. God wants to show you how to win every battle. There's no loss column, 3 loses and 10 wins. Those are no more losing, only winning. Why don't we say that? No more losing.
No more losing.
Only winning. Only winning. He causes me to win. Well, God wants to talk to you. God wants to answer your prayers. And I believe He has been talking to you, because one of the first parables that Jesus said was the sower sows the word. And then He pointed out that there's 4 different kinds of ground. And 3 of the kinds of ground, it's like God never even said anything to them. They didn't get the harvest of what He said to them. But then there's the good ground, who hears the word, receives the word into their good heart, believes it, acts on it, and it produces a harvest in your life. The way you treat God when He speaks to you determines if you will harvest what He just said. Have you been listening on the right channel? Have you been listening in the right dimension? Because external ears, physical ears, your head, your mind, your intellect, your emotions, your physical feelings, your monge, you will be disappointed if you demand an outward sign. Now, He did that in the Old Testament for people who had no way of knowing Him by His Spirit. Only the prophet knew Him, the priest, or the king. But in this dispensation, we all have Him on the inside. We shall all know Him from the greatest to the least. So in this day, we know Him from the inside of our spirit. Our hearts hear Him, and our hearts see Him. We went over a scripture last week that said, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with visible signs or outward signs. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So stop looking outside for answers. Look inside. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are being constantly led by God's Spirit, these are the sons of God. I like that word, constantly. Verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself is constantly bearing joint testimony with our human spirit that we are God's children. So His Spirit is constantly speaking to my human spirit. That's how He lets me know things. That's how He shows me how to win. That's how Moses knew how to hold his rod out over the water for the win. That's how Joshua knew how to march around the city for the win. That's how David knew how to go up at once, overtake, and recover all. We talked last week about this subject. A lot of times the biggest question I get asked is, how did you know how to be a missionary? Well, people that don't understand this spiritual principle will think you're crazy if you say, God told me, God told me, and then they'll just start to back away. But really, the same way God told me, I have called you to the South Pacific. It's the same way he told Moses to hold his rod out over the water. It's the same way he told Jesus that there would be gold in the fish's mouth. He told them that there, what the Pharisees were thinking. He knew their hearts. He knew the woman at the well had five husbands, and the person that she was with now was not her husband. It's the same way Paul knew that he shouldn't go up into Bithynia, but then he should come down into Macedonia. It's the same way Peter knew to go with the three men that were at the door, Gentiles going to Cornelius' house. It's the same way Ananias knew to go to the street called Straight and inquire at Judas. How did you know to knock on the door of this house? All these questions. How did you know? God's spirit bore witness with my spirit. God talked to me. And I heard him. And I believed him. And I acted on what he says. So God's spirit will bear witness with my own human spirit. He lets me know things. Praise God, he doesn't leave you in the dark. That would be correct. He said, I am the light of the world, not the dark of the world. I'm not hearing audible voices physically. I'm not going by hot or cold flashes, reasonings, past experiences, pros and cons, percentages, emotions. It's true. God will lead you by his spirit. And if that's the case, and if this is true, and if this is the way he speaks to this generation, I need to know my own human spirit. I need to be able to locate that. And I need to know the voice of the Spirit of God. I need to know how to know him through my own human spirit. So we've got this pack of verses that we've been going over for the last 10 weeks, I believe now. And it's called, I call it the More Than Conquering Package. Because Moses more than conquered by a born of God instruction. Not a born of man. Not a born of his brother Aaron. Not a, I thought it up myself. Not a knee-jerk reaction. It was a born of God, hold your rod out over. That was born of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, I've read this verse so many times in my life, and I never really understood it until the Lord began to say, see, that was a born of God answer. That was a born of God battle plan. That was a born of God idea. That was a born of God way to take the city. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, I call it the victory process that overcomes the world, even our faith. So here's the born of God battle plan. God will speak to a person. If you're in a 911 situation in your life, you can pray and expect God to answer you immediately, the same way he answered Moses. With not a born of my own mind, not a born of my own body, but a born of God idea that he'll show me in my spirit. And that's the victory process that overcomes the world. Doing what you're seeing or hearing him say on the inside, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. Faith, not by sight. We walk by what we're seeing and hearing on the inside from the Spirit of God. I want to back up and go to Ephesians 1:17. Paul prayed for us that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It doesn't sound like God's trying to hide here. It doesn't sound like he's trying to be mysterious. Ooh, I'm so mysterious, no one could ever know me. No? And also, like we said last week, notice this prayer isn't praying that God would talk a little bit louder. I'm praying that God would somehow talk louder and that God would make it more visible and he would come down physically. No, he's not praying for God, he's praying for us, that we would see and hear, because God is already speaking a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, illuminated, so that you would know what the hope of his calling was. Great men, authors of the New Testament, Jesus himself talked about this comforter. He said, when the comforter comes, he will guide you. That word comforter means comforter, counselor, teacher, advocate, standby, strengthener, all these things he is on the inside. What good is a counselor that you never hear one time in your entire life? Well, God is speaking to your spirit. Are we developed enough to hear him? Are we paying attention to our spirits to hear him? Paul said, as we read, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. John said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart. Ephesians says we have direct access to God by one Spirit. Romans 8:35 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not persecution, not peril, not sword, not nakedness, distress, or famine. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We win every time. Get used to winning, guys. Get used to winning, but get used to hearing your winning instructions from God on the inside of you. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Again, another very classic scripture. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yeah, I still don't know what that means. It's not by you physically winning by yourself. Yeah, I got that. Not by power. Okay, not me. It's not me. It's not me. Okay, it's not me. By my spirit. What do you mean by his spirit? Well, this is the victory process. God's going to tell you how to win the same way he told Moses how to hold his rod out. That's the process. The sower sows the word. Moses heard that. Moses was developed enough spiritually that he heard God when he spoke to him. And that's where we're trying to get you. That every time God speaks, you hear him. You know it's him. You believe him. And you step out on what he said. And it causes a harvest to come in to your life. So by the Spirit of God, what do you mean by the Spirit? By the Spirit of God showing you how to win in your spirit, you being developed enough spiritually to hear it, believe it, do it, and harvest what he just said. And then finally, this isn't our final scripture in our more than conquering pack, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Man, we got a lot of scriptures here, don't we? One thing that we say here at Rhema and All Nations is you better have a lot of scriptures. Because if you're teaching something that you don't have any scripture for, what you're teaching is unscriptural. In order for something to be scriptural, what do you need? You need scriptures for it. So here's 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the GLT. It says, but thanks be unto God, he always is leading us in triumph. Now that brings it out a bit more, because I thought I could just sit around and just automatically win. But I'm seeing words like draw it out. I'm seeing words like he's going to show me, his spirit will bear witness with my spirit. I know that I have a part to play in the victory process. The Lord will show me how to win. He's always going to lead me how to win. There's always a possible win for every situation in my life. He is always leading me in triumph. So let's get to the meat of our message. If you turn to Romans 8 and verse 5, we ended on this last week. Romans 8, verse 5. Now again, we have to draw up, we have to draw out of our spirit answers from God. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. That's our part. Counsel is there. What to do is there. Answers are there. Well, how come I don't know it? Because you have to draw them out of your human spirit. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And I'll just add, they mind the things of the Spirit. "For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now let me just read that again. "For they that are after the flesh," paying attention to the flesh, "do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit," or minding the things of the Spirit, paying attention to the things of the Spirit, connected to the things of the Spirit, aware of the things of the Spirit, they are spiritually minded. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Notice in this passage how much he's talking about the mind. Now, your mind is not your spirit, right? And your mind is not your body. But the mind connects the two. The mind is a bridge between your physical body and your spirit. And from this verse, you can be flesh-minded. You can connect only to the physical. Or you can be spirit-minded. You can connect to your spirit on the inside of you. Now, how many of you that were here last week remember at the end of the service, I said, look inside, look into your heart. And everybody, even though we didn't have a 350 million page encyclopedia about it, everybody kind of knew what I meant. Look inside. And everybody did. And my challenge was to you, now never look away. As you go out the door, don't disconnect from looking inside. As you go down the steps, don't stop looking inside. As you get into your car and drive home, stay connected to your spirit. As you go to bed, stay connected. Keep looking inside. And the goal is to stay connected all the time, aware of your human spirit. All the time. You never disconnect. Doesn't that sound like, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I am the vine and you are the branches? Well, I believe the Lord is just helping us to understand by saying it in so many different ways. So we really get to the place, okay, I understand this. So your mind is the bridge between the flesh and the spirit of man. With my flesh, you understand, I contact the physical realm. I operate in the physical. By my body, I'm aware of the material or the physical realm. We're able to connect to physical things. With our spirit, we're able... Now, this is where people freak out. Just get ready for this. With my physical body, I can interact physically. I connect to the physical realm. I smell things. I see things. I hear things physical. If a mosquito lands on me, I sense it physically. I connect to the physical realm with my body, but with my spirit, I'm aware of spiritual things. And we're able to connect or contact or be aware of spiritual things. Flesh is temporary, but spirit is eternal. The spirit, you know, the spirit has always been there. The spirit outdates flesh. Everything that exists here on earth that's physical, it came out of the spirit realm. It was created from the spirit realm. The spirit has always been there, and it always will be there. But we all were born onto the planet dead spiritually, right? So we don't really come to church to learn physical things or mental things. We come to learn how to operate spiritually now that we're born again. Now, in this verse again, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He's pointing out the focus of your mind. What you focus your mind on determines if you're aware of spiritual things or if you're aware of physical things. With my body, I'm aware of my flesh. I've got an itch. I'm hungry. But with my spirit, I'm aware of the things of the spirit, and I can connect to either one. The problem is most people never connect to their hearts. Right now, I'm connected to my heart. I'm connected to my body. My mind is right in the middle, and I'm functioning in all three equally. Instead of just connecting to my physical, my mental connects to my physical, and the spirit, I don't know anything about my spirit. No, you can connect to all three. Thank you, Lord. I can connect to my body all the time. I can be connected to my spirit all the time with my mind. I can focus on my heart. I can focus on my spirit. And that's the big thing. How did you hear I have called you to the South Pacific? I was focusing on my heart. I was looking inside. And I choose where to look. I choose where to focus. I choose where to concentrate. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, spiritual things, are eternal. That's why we said the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. If I only ever connect to my flesh, that's all I will ever be aware of. And what determines the thing that determines if you're spiritual or not is what you connect your mind to, what you pay attention with your mind to. Look inside. Connect inside. How much is in there right now that is available, but that you don't know because you never look inside for an answer? You never draw anything up. You spend most of your time aware of the physical things and very little time connected to your spirit. I want to just quote these scriptures to you again. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel. The word says, it is in your heart. It is in the heart of a man. It's like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20:27. Now, these are some of the verses that Pastor Junior is preaching on Sunday morning. We're running right side by side. We're going to overlap, but we believe we're going to get this. We're going to get this. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Young Literal says, the breath of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the heart. The Amplified, the spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Thank you, Lord. So the Spirit, my spirit, is where God will illuminate me or enlighten me. I want to tell you a story over in Joshua 9 and verse 3. Now Joshua had just won the battle of Jericho, which was more than conquering that city. How did you know how to conquer that city? Well, the Spirit of the Lord appeared to him and showed him. And then he conquered Ai, which is Ai. And that was amazing. And all the kings around about that region were scared to death of the children of Israel. Joshua 9:3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what he had done to Jericho and Ai, they did work wily. So they got cheeky and tricky, and they made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks, put them on their donkeys, and old wine bottles, old and rent, bound up, old shoes, clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We've come from a far country. Now, therefore, let's make a deal. Let's make a covenant. Let's make a plan. We're with you. You're with us." Well, they came from across the street in Tafusi. They put old stuff on their donkeys. They brought old food. They got the worst clothes from the We Don't Care Center. They got the worst, and they dressed up, and they played the part, and they acted. They said, "Look at our clothes. We left, and our clothes were new. Look at our shoes. They were shiny before we left. Look at our bread. It was fresh, hot, out of the oven before we left. Look at our donkeys." So they started weaving their tale, and the men of Israel said unto them, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are you? Where'd you come from?" "Oh, we've come from far, 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 far away where Shrek's wife lives. Far, 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 far away. We're from the kingdom of far, far away. Look at our food. Look at our clothes. Look at our hair. We've got dreadlocks. We came such a long way. Oh, we want to make a deal with you. We want to make an agreement and a covenant with you that we'll be your servants." Let me go to, they described all their things. And they looked at them. Verse 13, "These bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they are rent. And look at our garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey across the street from that side of Taufusi to this side of Taufusi." And the men took their food and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them that they would protect them and that they would not kill them. Notice what Joshua 9:14 says. The men took of their food or their victuals. They made a covenant with them. And they did not ask God. They did not look on the inside. They did not inquire of the Lord. Now, every other decision that Joshua has made to this point, he's received born of God answers. But this time, the BBE says the men took some of their food without requesting directions from the Lord. How many times do we do that? We made this big statement last week. If you believe in God, you'll go to him and you'll ask. But you can really determine if you have faith in God, you believe he has answers. The person that doesn't believe in God will not go to him, will not even pray, will not expect an answer. It's a faith issue. But Joshua knew the Lord, and he made a big mistake here. The Message Bible says they didn't ask God about it. The NIV, they did not inquire of the Lord. The New Living says they did not consult the Lord. What does that mean? They did not look inside for counsel. They did not draw it up. The NRSV says, and they did not ask direction from the Lord. So how did they win all their other battles? By going inside and asking the Lord, how should we take this city? How do you want us to do this? How do you want us to win this battle? But they asked not. They did not access God's Spirit. They didn't do, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. They didn't do, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. They didn't do whatsoever is born of God. They just looked at the flesh. And what we're talking about is you can make decisions. You can connect just to the flesh and look at the outside appearance. And they decided to make a covenant with them based on their shoes, their clothes, their hair, their donkeys, their wineskins. And it was the wrong decision. After this, five nations came up against Gibeon. And Joshua and his men had to fight for them and against them because they had made a covenant with them. Was there counsel? Was there counsel for Joshua that day? If he'd have looked inside, what would he have heard? Liar, liar, pants on fire. He would have heard, they're lying to you. Do not make a covenant with them. But did he connect to the Spirit? No. He looked on the outside. Counsel was there in their hearts? Yes. An answer was there? Why did they not get it? Because they looked not at the things which are unseen. They looked at the things which were seen. Boy, I think this, how much is in my spirit right now that I'm not seeing, that I'm not connecting to? Thank you, Lord, that you help me see more. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Help me to draw counsel out of my own human spirit. Are there any third-year students here? One, two. Winnie, can you guys come up? I want to do a little bit of a illustration because your spirit is the source of all your answers. If you guys could stand right here in front so everyone can see you. Who wants to be the spirit? Yes, you're smart. Okay, you go on that side. Who wants to be the body? Nobody. Oh, you do? Okay. Okay. And you're going to be the mind. Stand right here in the middle. Come this way, please. Connect by arms. Go like this with your arms. Connect your arms. Touch each other. Okay. What we've been talking about today is what you choose to look at will determine if you're spirit-minded or if you're flesh-minded. So, Winnie, can you just look at your flesh? Winnie, look that way. Okay. Good. Keep looking that way. To be carnally minded, where you just look at your body, you just look at the things of the flesh, you never look this way. That's what Romans chapter 8 is saying. For they that are after the flesh, they just look at the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now I'm going to go look at this situation here. Because this little flame, rip away flame. This signifies the presence of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. So where's the Lord? He's in your spirit. He's in your anganga. So this stands for counsel. The answers are here in this part of you. The answers aren't that way. But notice Winnie's just looking that way. Even though the answer is here. You know, the answer can be in this direction. The answer can be over there. But if all you ever look at is this way, I mean, the answer could be right there. But based on the way you're looking, even though it's right there, you're never going to see it. So the answer for Winnie is right there. But she just looks this way. She's minding her flesh. But if she just turned, okay, Winnie, turn to your spirit. Yeah. If you just look that way, then you can connect. I love you. I honestly love you. if she connects to her spirit, then she can draw up the things that are in her spirit. But if you connect to your mind, I'm sorry, you connect to your flesh, all you connect to is physical feelings. And there's nothing to draw from here. Everybody say, it's not here. Where are you going to find your answer? Here? No, why? Because it's not here. Counsel is not here. And it even says in Proverbs, don't lean on your understanding. This can be like a big file cabinet that you go through all your experiences. You go through everything that's ever happened. You go through everything you've ever learned in your life. And you keep going through the files and going through the files and going through the files and trying to figure what to do mentally and intellectually. And guess what? It's not there either. But if you connect, if you look inside, if you become more spirit-minded, then you can see. The spirit is the part of you that will even illuminate your understanding or your mind. So which way do I need to look to get an answer from God? Always look in your heart. Like Joshua, the council was there to know those men were liars. But he looked this way. Boy, those are the worst clothes I've ever seen. Boy, those donkeys look terrible. Look at the donkey cloth. So he judged it after the flesh, and he got it wrong. He did not ask counsel of the Lord. But if he had looked for counsel and drawn it up, he would have gotten counsel. Are you guys okay to stand there for a little bit? The next 2 hours? So looking the wrong way. Winnie, can you look at the body again? That way? Yep. Massage your neck if it's getting... Like we said, the answer can be right here. But if you spend your whole life looking the other way, you're never going to see it. So you've got to mind the things of the Spirit. Connect to the things of the Spirit. Focus on your heart. Stay there. Look inside and never look away. I believe the Lord is serious about that. There is a way that you can live that you never look away from your spirit. You're always ready to hear anything he has to say to you. So pay attention. Focus. This way. This way. This way. Now, you guys know, even though you're looking this way, you still smell fried chicken when it's frying, right? You still smell the food. So you're still operating physically. You're not going to turn into this big weirdo, which we never preach that. You're still physically aware, but you're concentrating on the inside, which is the big switch we all need to make. Pay attention. That's where I get my answers. Thank you, Lord. Well, I've got another little illustration. I hope I can do this. Your spirit is the part of you that produces the answers from God. And I'll say it this way. Coconut cream in the heart of a coconut is there, right? Coconut cream in the heart of a coconut is there, but it's got to be drawn up or taken out, right? And for Palangis, it's really hard. Have you ever seen a Palangi try to husk the coconut and they almost kill themselves on the the sharp stick? That was probably going to be me. But you understand, your spirit, the way we're made up, is a lot like a coconut. This is Tino. This is my body. And if I take this and if I scrape it and then I put it in the tawanga and tataole pule? Pulu. What's pule? Something else? Almost. Pulu. If I squeeze this part, is any coconut cream gonna come out? If I grind this up, if I grind this part up and I stick it in here, and is anything gonna come out? Why? Because this part, pulu, the pulu does not produce the pepe. Okay, now you guys are helping me with this, right? Because I'm almost a fakasi. So your body is like the husk of the coconut. It's like the husk of the coconut. And your mind, the ipupopo, ipupopo, hooray! Ipupopo. It's almost the same sound. Your mind is like the ipupopo. Yes, that's you. Okay. This is you. This is you. Hold that. Winnie, you're the ipupopo. And you are the heart of Rafiti. So, you guys know how to make coconut cream? You know how to draw that out of a coconut? Which part of the coconut are you gonna scrape, 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 and then ta-tow with the husk? Ipupopo? Fasipopo. Let me try a Samoan sentence on you, can I? I'm going to say it in my mind first. Ole olotino epe ole pulu. Thank you. Ole mafafao epe ole ipupopo. Ole anganga epe ole fasipopo. My teacher has been Pastor Lupe, and Sabian, and right at the last minute, Pastor Arthur came in. About 10 years ago, he taught me puka paka poco. And and that's the last time I've ever really spoken Samoan in the meeting. But I thought, tonight's the night for my debut. So I scraped this pulu. And then, tatao! Ole pulu? No? Tatao pulu. You understand my broken Samoan. I'll fix your broken life with my broken Samoan. Okay, if you squeeze this, does anything get produced? If you squeeze, ipupopo, squeeze it, anything produce? If you squeeze this, anything produced?
Yes.
Yes. For every good Samoan, every good South Pacific Islander, this verse. If you want to draw out the coconut cream that's there for you, it's in the heart of the coconut. It's not in the husk. It's not in the nut. It's in the fasipopo. It is the fasipopo. Can you see that? That's the part of you, the heart of a man. And that's why the word says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. It is the only part of you that produces the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord. That all comes up and out of your human spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You guys can, would you like to keep your coconuts as a memory of your time with us? You guys can go ahead and sit down. I'll take your whatever you don't want. How's my Samoan? It's horrible. Thank you, Lord. So remember, we're talking about the mind right here, that part that bridges between the flesh and the spirit. And you want to point your mind, concentrate more on the things of the spirit. And it might take you guys a little bit. It's a discipline. Now, let's just do this exercise. Everybody look inside. Just look inside. And I don't know how to tell you that, but everybody's a human. You have this makeup. So with your understanding, with your soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, instead of just connecting to your body, connect inside. Connect inside. Pay attention to the inside. Everybody there? Takes a little bit of effort for some. Some of you are already connected because you never disconnect. You learned this a long time ago. You've been paying attention to your spirit more than any other part of you. And you're walking with him and he's real to you. And you hear him in the morning. Thank you, Lord. John 15:4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. The BBE says, be in me at all times, as I am in you. As the branch is not able to give fruit of itself if it is not still on the vine, so you are not able to do so if you are not in me, if you're not connected to me, if you're not paying attention to your spirit. An answer from God. You know, we know that fruit of the spirit verse in Galatians chapter 5. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Another fruit of the Spirit is an answer from God in your spirit. Knowing what to do, an answer from God is a fruit of your spirit. So all these questions that I've had all my life, as we said last week, how did you know to come back to Samoa after Kelly passed away? I was paying attention to my spirit. I was asking God for wisdom. And I heard it and I saw it from there. Can I tell you a story before we close? It's 8:35 if you need to know what time it is. So we've got about 10 minutes. Can you take one more story? I have it in my heart to show you a spiritual transaction on the earth. It was John the Baptist who saw something with his spirit. And it's the story when, of course, Jesus was baptized in the river. And I want to just preface this with, in every other version, you'll see it in the other Gospels, where Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. It seemed like everybody saw the Spirit of God descend, right? Everybody that was there saw this happen and saw the Spirit of God descend upon him as a dove. And the Lord spoke. But after reading the account from the Gospel of John, the only person who saw it was John. Would you allow me to go through that with you? Well, let me just put this out there, because I'm going to start with where I'm going to end. If everybody saw that day, if everybody saw the second person of the Trinity in the water come up, and then the third person of the Trinity, now it wasn't a dove, you understand, it wasn't a physical dove. It was the Spirit of the Lord. It was the entire third person of the Trinity. It was the Holy Spirit that descended from heaven, came upon the second person of the Trinity in the River Jordan and stayed on him. You understand? That's probably the biggest spiritual transaction that had ever happened on earth to that point. And from John's description of it, he says what the Lord said to him. He saw what he saw. And remember, the next day, I'm getting way ahead of myself. This is the point I wanted to make. If everybody saw that, how come nobody knew who Jesus was still? Right? But it wasn't until a couple days later that John said to Andrew, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." They didn't know it was him until John told them it was him. So let's look at it. You trust me? Say no. Go read the other accounts for yourself tonight. We just got time to read the one. John 1, verse 29. This is the greatest prophet that Jesus said, the greatest prophet that ever was on the earth was John the Baptist. Why? Well, I believe he got the greatest revelation that anyone could ever get on the earth, that man right there is the Son of God. Nobody else knew that. Nobody else saw that. But this one man saw it. John 1:29. And he's going to work backwards through the story and give his an account of why he was even dunking people in the water. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.'" I didn't know who he was going to be, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. He was going to come while I was alive. I knew that much. And that's why I've come baptizing with water. Verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And then he uses some descriptions. I didn't know who it was. I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Interesting. He said, and he made this description of why is John even out in the wilderness dunking people under the water? What new thing is this? Well, he said, him who sent me, the Holy Spirit told me to baptize people. And every time you baptize someone, I'm sure, he said, when you baptize the people, go out and baptize people, and the person that you see the Holy Spirit come down and stay on, that's the Christ. So I'm sure it was only men that he was baptizing in those days. But he would put a man under the water and then he, next. Is he looking physically, though? Like I said, if everyone in that crowd saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven and come upon Jesus, they would have left John right away. And he wouldn't have had to tell them, that's him. Because they would have all seen it, right? But we see John said, I saw and I bear record that the Spirit of God came upon him. And this is the Son of God. So he said, the Holy Spirit told me to dunk people underwater. And he said that the person that I dunk underwater, that the Holy Spirit comes upon and stays on, that's the Christ. So he's out there in the wilderness dunking everyone. Come here. And they're lining up to be baptized. Have you ever seen the movie The Sword and the Stone? Where they all these men lined up to pull the sword out of the stone. And if you can pull this sword out of the stone, you're the king. Well, it's kind of a similar plot. But he would put a man under the water. And what's he looking for? Spiritual evidence of who the Christ is going to be. And he baptized and he baptized. Nope, not seeing anything. Not seeing anything. It's not talking about seeing something physical. Because like we said, if we could see spiritual things with our physical bodies, our physical eyes, we would be seeing them right now. Physical sees physical. Spirit sees spiritual. So there's John out in the wilderness dunking all these men under the water. And what? Watching, looking, where? From here. What is he looking for? He's looking for the Spirit of the living God to come down upon this man and stay on him. Well, how did you know to go out into the wilderness and dunk people underwater? That's the weirdest thing. Verse 33, I didn't know who he was going to be. But he that sent me to baptize, the Holy Spirit told me to come out here and dunk people underwater. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, how did you know to dunk people under the water? Well, the same way Moses knew to hold his rod out over the water. The same way Joshua knew how to march around Jericho. The same way David knew how to chase after the people. The same way I knew how to come back to Samoa. The same way that anyone that's ever been led by the Spirit of God knew. God told him, go out into the wilderness and dunk people underwater. And the person that you see the Spirit of God come upon, that is the Christ. The same said unto me, upon whom You shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. The same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw. Did he see this physically? If it was physical, everyone in the crowd would have seen it. Because your spirit, soul, and body, your body can only see physical things. Your spirit can see spiritual things. John saw this in the spirit. The only human being ever on the planet, he saw the second person of the Trinity, he saw the Word, and he saw the third person of the Holy, the third person of the Trinity. Anyone a good Catholic? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm a good Catholic. He saw the second person of the Trinity and the third person of the Trinity become one in the River Jordan. And Jesus called him the greatest seer, the greatest prophet that ever walked on the face of the earth. And I saw and I bear record. Verse 35, again, the next day. So the next day, did he lose his crowd? No, everybody's still there. The next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked by, so he's already been baptized, the Spirit of God is upon him, no one's following him, but then John said to his two disciples, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Based on what? Did they see it the day before? No. Based on John telling them, that's the Messiah right there. I saw in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit descend upon him, and I bear record. The one who sent me to baptize said, the one that you see the Spirit come upon, that's him. And then the next day, John began to preach him. Behold, the Lamb of God. And now the two disciples left John, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned when he saw them following and said, what seek you? And they said unto him, Rabbi, where do you live? And he said, come and see. And they came and saw, and there they dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, in the right place at the right time. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said, we have found the Messiah. Based on what? Based on John being able to see this and telling them, this is the Messiah. We have found him, which is interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. You'll be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. I just wanted to show you that. The Lord put it in my heart to bring out spiritual transactions that were occurring in the Bible, where people were seeing major spiritual events in their spirits that affected the entire world, but nobody else saw it. They were seeing miracles. They were seeing angels. Jesus said this to his disciples after he called them. He said, you're going to see the heavens opened, and you're going to see angels coming to and from the earth down upon the Son of Man. So business as usual in the realm of the Spirit has been reopened on earth by Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you today with what we're going to start on next week. How come we don't see today? How come we don't see? Well, because we haven't been trained the way the Lord is training us now. We're still looking only at the flesh. And we're learning to turn the focus of our mind on the inside. What determines if you're going to be spiritual or carnal is what you do with your mind. What you focus on with your mind, what you connect to with your mind, will determine how spiritually developed you are, how spiritually aware you are, what you draw up. Now, next week, I want to talk about praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues. The word says that we pray out mysteries when we pray in other tongues. But even among people that do speak in other tongues, there's this belief that when I pray in other tongues, I still never know what I'm praying. Well, when you pray out a mystery, that basically means it's not a mystery anymore. One of the greatest ways that we can draw out counsel from the Holy Spirit in our spirit is by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a way to draw up counsel that maybe I don't know how to pray right now, and maybe I don't understand what the answer is, but by praying in tongues and looking inside to understand an answer, I can draw it up. Brother Hagin said all the answers that he's ever received in his life have come up and out of his spirit by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to begin, we're going to end now, but we're going to begin next week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, "Brethren, regarding spiritual things, I would not have you ignorant." I want you to know God is always wanting to move by his Spirit. God is always speaking to you. Why don't you stand with me as the praise and worship team comes? Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We started tonight with hearing that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. That God always causes us to win. In those accounts in the Old Testament, those people always won when they trusted the Lord, when they inquired of the Lord. They always won every time, and it was miraculous. It was more than conquering. It wasn't by might or power, it was by the Spirit. It was born again answers that they were able to connect to a supply that was not physical, but in the dimension of the Spirit. Do you know God is here tonight by his Spirit? And I want all of you to look inside. That's where your answer is going to come from. I know in my heart by the Spirit of the Lord that there's a lot of marriages that are suffering in Samoa. There's a lot of people that are just so unhappy in their lives because of their marriage. But that is not the will of God for your life. That is not the future that God wants for you and your children and your family and your extended family. You believe right now that he can show you how to win in your marriage. I know some of you here are sick tonight with the flu. It's been going around. But I'm going to say, keep going. Don't stop here. But maybe you've got symptoms tonight and you need to receive healing. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need wisdom, counsel. I need to know what to do. I don't know what to do with my life. Well, we just told you the secret. Turn your head this way. You've been looking the wrong way. And your answer is right here. It's right here. But you can look this way your whole life and still never see it. Turn your mind, your soul, to your spirit. And let God speak to you tonight. Vehi's going to sing a song, and I believe it will minister to you. Everyone, just look inside. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, go ahead and begin to pray in the Spirit. Go ahead, Vehi. Thank you, Lord.
Our source of life, our source of peace, our source of joy is you, our source of hope, our source of health, our source of wealth is you, 'cause you've got it all. You got the answers, and you're showing me, Lord, that you are the answer. Your source of life, your source of peace, your source of joy is him, your source of love, your source of strength, your source of health is him, 'cause he's got it all.
Thank you.
Yes, he does. He's got the answers, and he's showing you that he is the answer every day, 'cause you've got it all, Lord. You got our answers, and you're showing us, Lord, in our hearts that you are the answer.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
'Cause you're showing us, Lord, right now, that you are the
thank you.
You're showing me in my heart that you are the answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid when it gets quiet, because that's when he'll talk to you. That's where you see a picture, a plan, a message, even just a few words come up in your heart, change everything. Your spirit is the part of you that illuminates even your understanding. You know what to do. How did you know what to do? God's spirit is constantly bearing witness with my spirit. And I looked there. I turned there. I concentrated there. I became more aware there, and I saw it. Now I know what to do. Thank you, Lord. Nehru, if you could minister healing over the people, similar to what we did the other day, over the flu and anything that's wrong in your body right now. Pastor Nehru's going to speak over you and receive with your heart, receive strength, receive healing. Go ahead, sir.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Lord, we know that the answers are already on the inside of us. And the answers are free. We thank you, Lord, that by Jesus, that all the things, the promises that you have for us are yes and already. Amen. In Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you so much this evening. Thank you for your healing power that is present here in this place. We know when you are here, Lord God, so is healing here. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your presence here today, your healing power that's available for your children. Right now, Lord God, as one of servants here, thank you so much, Father, for your healing power. We speak right now over your people, over everyone here that tonight, Lord God, that's in the service and also those watching. We thank you, Father God, for your healing power that will flow through their bodies. We thank call you. Their bodies right now in Jesus' you, name. We say, bodies, be strong.
Thank you, Lord.
Pain, be gone. In Jesus' name, flu, be gone. We say, body, be strong. Nose, stop running. Be strong in Jesus' name. Fever, leave in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
bodies, Lord. Be strong. Lord, the same way you said that you quickened Jesus and you raised him up, the same power that's alive in us right now, in Jesus' name, we call these bodies strong. We thank you, Lord, that our bodies are quickened, awakened. We thank you, Lord, we receive strength right now. We call our bones strong in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Fever is leaving. We thank you, Father. Heads are being strong. Right now, we call everything that is not right to be right in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We receive your healing power right now. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, we're going to pray together a simple prayer. Repeat this after me. Say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus, the greatest gift to the world, to die for my sins, to pay my price, to redeem me back to you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Make me new. I will serve you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. What you just did, you just opened your heart to the living God. You invited him to come back into your life. And from now on, it's going to get brighter and brighter and better and better. Did anyone pray that prayer for the first time tonight? Can I see your hand? I believe we might all be saved. Thank you, Lord. If you're watching by internet, tell somebody. Get to a great church. If you're not here in Samoa, then find a great church that preaches the word and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. Pastor Jenny's going to do the announcements, and then we'll have a wonderful closing song. God bless you. Tofa soifua.